finding what works for you. I mean, you know, with any program, it's not going to be 100% effective for everyone, but
right.
You sure as heck can take most of it. And I mean, you, as you can see from the goals that I sent you, that they're all things that we've, you know, spoken about over the last 6 months, you know, is just kind of what's it going to take to make these, all these changes permanent in everything that we were doing, from the walking to the Tabata, you know, to the meal plans. They all are stuff that I can do, excuse me, when I'm 70 or 80 years old.
All right, guys, welcome into the Hardwick Life Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Hardwick. Joining us today is a man named John Zinser. He was my first official client on the Lose Like a Lineman program. I'll tell you all about that story. John lost 100 pounds in under 7 months on the program. So in this episode, it was recorded on this Sunday Zoom session that we do as part of the Lose Like a Lineman program. We've got a network and people show up and we have a Sunday class most days. Well, we basically let John teach the class on Sundays, and he just did a fabulous job. So we got to celebrate John's success with the group. We get inspiration from his accomplishments, and he shares his newly established 8 rules for a healthy life moving forward and a way for him to keep that weight off. So on this episode, you're going to hear other voices kind of chime in. You're going to hear people celebrate John. And John does a wonderful job of teaching us what helped him. And I think that's a big part of the program, is figuring out what works for you. There is no one-size-fits-all program, but what works for you and what allows you to keep your health on track. John crushed it, 100 pounds in under 7 months. He had a goal, and you'll hear it, of losing 50 pounds by Christmas. He started on July 11th at 325 pounds. He well exceeded that, over 100 pounds 2 months after his goal of only 50 pounds. So great job, John Zinser, former football player, University of Pennsylvania, 53 years old, by the way. So there is no age limit on this. And if you're interested in the program, check it out. I've got a link in the bio of this, and use the code podcast20 for 20% off. Hope you enjoy this episode. Here's to your health. John, the story goes, at least in my head, John, you can clarify this if I mess any of it up. John was writing me in Instagram, on the direct messages of Instagram, wanting to know, how did I do it? How'd you lose the weight? Well, I had been writing the Google Doc, kind of the back work for what ended up being the ebook and the program and everything. It was super rough. And I said, sure, here, you can have the program in its rawest form. It was just a Google Doc. It was all over the place. I hadn't organized it all that well yet. And I said, if you don't mind, take some before and after pictures as you're going through the program, and just keep me up to date, like every week or 2 weeks or month, or just keep me posted on how you're doing. And I'd like to see if it's attainable for anybody else. And so John is really the first person that got his hands on the actual program. I had given it to through phone and FaceTime to a couple of Naval Academy football players who had to lose weight after their football career was done to make Navy regulations. But John was the official first Lose Like a Lineman client. So without further ado, guys, we've got to give John Zinser a huge congratulations on Super Bowl Sunday, nonetheless. I think this is just fantastic. John Zinser has lost 100 pounds. So give him a little round of applause if you don't mind. And
congrats, it John. Just...
appreciate it.
Unbelievable.
Awesome work.
Are we going to ever get to see a standby, the side-by-side?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
you want to see a side-by-side?
I've sent a few different versions depending on what phone I took the pictures of, but I'll be happy to send it out to the team. You can either have the shirt on or shirt off version. You know, the shirt off's a little rough, the original, but at least now you can all see that down the road, it's, you know, all possible.
That's awesome. Yeah,
John, you look awesome. If you don't mind, I'm going to share my screen for a moment and let everybody have a look at, is that all right?
Yeah, fire away.
All right, here we go. I'm going to share this and desktop. Good. Okay.
And there's no airbrushing or anything involved.
So there's you didn't Kardashian this, so
I wouldn't know how. I'm too old for that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So there, but you did know how to put it into a nice little edited package here. So there's John at 325. That was what, July 11th, John?
July 11th.
And here you are. You made 225. What day this week?
I think I sent those over on like Wednesday or Thursday.
Awesome. It is just wow. Really, what an inspiration. Look at that. I mean, when I look at John, I'm like, first off, your arms look fantastic.
Yeah.
And yeah, your neckline looks amazing. And good for you. I can't imagine how your joints feel, how your hips feel, how your knees feel, your feet waking up in the morning. And
no, I mean, it's just as simple as walking down the stairs in the morning. You know, I at 325, I absolutely held the rails just like, you know, grandma and grandpa. And, you know, now I can bounce down the stairs in the morning without worrying about, you know, busting my ass or anything. So it's really, you know, really a game changer. I mean, and it's worth it. I know, Pat, you had mentioned that you're worried about, you know, your bench press or your leg press not being what it is. Trust me, on this side, it's worth every pound you give up on the bench press to feel this good. I mean, it takes a while for us offensive linemen to get that out of our head. And that's probably why I was 325 for as long as I was, because it was fun going to the gym and being the biggest dude there and still throwing around iron and, you know, loading up the entire leg press with, you know, with 45 pound plates and having everybody stop and look at you, even at, you know. So I mean, that's the biggest thing is that, you know, once you get past that part that, you know, we don't have a game today, that you know, getting down to this size, it will change everything for you.
John, you mentioned a little bit being a football player. Take us back to kind of the origination of you becoming a big man and getting to 325, and at 53 years old now, holding on to that weight for so long. So take us back just initially to where you came from and how originally you got to 325.
I played college about 275 or so, and then in the Arena League bounced up to about, you know, 290. In, you know, 285, depending on what, you know, part of the season was or off season. And then, you know, the 300 pound world didn't enter until I started coaching. And then you sit around, you watch film, you stand on the sidelines a ton, and everywhere you go in that, you know, world, you're eating all the time. So that, you know, kind of continued on. And then when I got out of coaching and, you know, got into the, you know, real world, my job had a lot of sitting around, but your body still wants to eat all the time. And, you know, you don't get that out of your head. I mean, I continue to go to the gym, but, you know, work takes up time, and just really, you know, continue the, you know, eating part of it, but, you know, didn't hit the gym, didn't do the cardio, wasn't moving around. And, you know, as they say, you know, once you get into 325, it just kind of sits and stays there.
What was the impetus to finally say, I'm losing weight and here's why? What was the final decision to go, all right, this is happening, I'm fully committed to losing weight after 30 years of having the weight on?
I mean, there was two things. One is, you know, due to COVID, you know, I got furloughed, and, you know, my way to cope was I got, you know, pissed off, quite honestly. And I drank every beer, every pizza, and every ice cream cake there was for the 10-mile radius. And I was actually far north of 325, quite honestly. And then through social media or whatever, you know, I looked at, you know, your story, Joe Thomas, Marshall Yonda, Joe Holly, and all of you had ways that you had gotten it, and you were all in quote unquote my world, obviously NFL, much, you know, different level, you know, professionally. But at the same time, I said, you were all 300 to 350 or wherever you played at, and you were all able to drop 70 to 100 pounds. I said, there's got to be something that everyone's doing that's keeping it off. Because as we had talked about the pyramid, I was going to the gym 5 days a week. I was just screwing it up with all the eating I was doing. And then, you know, I IM'd you, you know, like you said early on, and you were one of the ones that, you know, really responded. You know, shout out Joe Holly, you know, responded as well.
Joe's great.
You know, and but you know, and then when you just said, "Oh, the hell with it, I'll just send you the program," and I just was like, "Well, son of a bitch, if Nick cares enough, doesn't know me from Adam, you know, to do it," I said, "Let me try it." And what was awesome about the program, especially, you know, at being 53, is that there's nothing intimidating about it, if that makes sense. It's all about getting your diet right, you know, focusing on what you need to focus on from, you know, from a caloric intake, and then really focusing on the movement, not the intensity. I mean, I think one thing that's in all of our blood, or at least all the offensive linemen or defensive linemen that are on this call, is I'm going to outwork the son of a bitch.
Oh yeah.
And when you're in your 20s and 30s, we were always able to do that. I mean, we all showed up to camp going, man, I got to get 10 off before I got to do that damn 300 yard conditioning run. And what did it take you back then? A week, 2 weeks, and right. that was gone. Whereas now it didn't. And so, you know, I just was as religious as possible with the program. You know, wrote everything down, as you saw. I think, you know, what was cool is when you said, you know, send me, you know, the updates. So I would write everything down every week and then just put a little synopsis in it. But hindsight, not knowing what was happening at the time, it kind of set in motion all the goals that I was able to put in writing to send you, you know, last week, where I'm going, okay, this is what I'm going to do when I'm quote unquote, I don't want to say, on to the next chapter, because that's really, you know, where we're at, is finding what works for you. I mean, you know, with any program, it's not going to be 100% effective for everyone, but
right.
you sure as heck can take most of it. And I mean, you, as you can see from the goals that I sent you, that they're all things that we've, you know, spoken about over the last 6 months, you know, is just kind of, what's it going to take to make all these changes permanent in everything that we were doing, from the walking to the Tabata, you know, to the meal plans? They all are stuff that I can do, excuse me, when I'm 70 or 80 years old, not something I got to rely on where I'm like, oh crap, I'm not going to be able to do this in another 5 years. My body's not going to let me to do that. So, I mean, so that's really, you know, where it was. And like anything, you know, the first month lost 31 pounds on the first cycle. And I went, I'm doing, other than changing my eating habits and adding in a lot of walking and being able to, you know, factor that into your day and time that out into your day, I wasn't working any harder at the gym than I was for the last, you know, 10 years.
Right.
I was just working out the right way. Or differently, and putting in the movement. And that's really where, you know, as I say, the weight fell off, and just, you know, as you saw it work, you're going, okay, keep going. And then, you know, keep, you know, molding the program to where it works, you know, for you and gets you, you know, to the next level, and just kind of following the process. I mean, you know, as offensive linemen, the other thing is we're fantastic on working the boring crap in life. I mean, if I can go, you know, for, I just get sick just thinking about the,
shirt. John sent me this. This comes from my offensive line meeting room. And this was the offensive line creed. It's, we do our job with a monotonous consistency day in and day out. And then in the fourth quarter, we impose our will, but we don't impose our will up until then. We have to take care of the little details, and it's those steps along the way that get you there. I love the idea, John, that you have taken the structure and then within that you have to find what works for you, right? So that's, there is in any program, there's never a one size fits all. Some of you can have milk. Some of you can have grains. Some of you can have different, there's different iterations that work with your body. And there's some that don't work with your body, but a lot of it comes down to figuring out what does work and what doesn't work with you in your life and your lifestyle while staying under kind of the guidelines or the recommendations, I guess, of the caloric intake. And then everything can be kind of finagled around within that. And then I stole this from you, John, because I thought it's awesome. It's 70% nutrition. It's 20% daily activity and walking and 10% exercise. Now, exercise is super important for the long run for getting our brain to be vibrant and pumping fresh blood and oxygen there and making our heart strong and our lungs capable and keeping our bone density up as we age. It's all very important, but for weight loss, it's probably the least important component of all of this. Nutrition and then activity and then exercise would be the last little slice of the pie. Long-term, of course, exercise is very important to incorporate. So I think a really important thing that you did, and I don't know if this was intentional by you or you fell into it, but you set very clear goals early on. And then I think you just kept reestablishing those goals as they went along. Like the first goal that you had really was to get to 270 by Christmas, which was going to be 55 pounds of weight loss by Christmas. So that's, I think, the very clear goal and objective helped you. Do you believe that? I mean, was it something that you thought about a lot, getting down to 270?
I thought 270 by Christmas, like you said, I said 55 pounds. I said, that's a, you know, big nut. And I think anybody anywhere would be happy with, you know, dropping that much over, you know, course of 5 months. And I just said, all right. And then all of a sudden, you know, come September, October, I didn't say, oh crap, but I just like, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to be way the heck past that. And I said, but I also knew I wasn't hurting myself. It wasn't like I was starving or, you know, wearing a sweatsuit, you know, and sweating, yes, like a wrestler. I was going, wait a minute, this is working. So like you said, I said, all right, let's recalculate it. And I said, all right, next cycle. I said, well, 270. I said, no, let me go for 255. And, you know, and just kind of really, but, you know, taking another, you know, chunk out of it, you know, and it just, you know, kind of continued to work. But yet, like you said, nothing's, you know, finite. You have to, you know, adapt, and there was no sense in slowing down. It was going, this is working. I'm not over exerting myself. I'm not hurting myself, or, you know, I'm eating right. So I said, let's, you know, keep up the process, and just kind of, you know, fast forward it a little bit, and, you know, got to the next level a little sooner.
I think it's super. And you felt like it was sustainable. Like you weren't running a pace that you couldn't maintain for a really long time. I think that's an important component to success, is that it doesn't feel like this is wearing me down, this is burning me out, which is why I think the diet breaks are really important. So we can do these things in intervals. We can go 4 weeks and then 2 weeks and then 4 weeks and then 2 weeks. Did you take regular breaks, or did you plow through some of the breaks?
most of the breaks were the regular or you know, this, you know, the 16 or 18 days. Two of them I went short. I think the original the second break I went on, I shortened it up, because that was when Pat and Justin, Josh and Ross joined in, and you, yep, said, hey, I'm gonna start the group on this, you know, coming Monday, can you make it? And I just cut off, you know, like a week of, you know, of a break. But other than that, yeah, I took at least, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks, you know, between each cycle, and allowed myself to, you know, as we said, do threes and fours, and, you know, most of the days. Didn't change it up and, you know, do fives and sixes, but, you know, kind of, you know, took the breaks because mentally it was fun because you didn't have to, you know, not didn't have to, but for myself, I wasn't writing things down. So it's just like, all right, you know, just kind of, you know, be yourself, do your thing. And then on days where, you know, you're going to be at the office for a while, just kind of, you know, make that, make, you know, there wasn't anything wrong on your off weeks to throw in a two every now and then, you know, just kind of, you know, you're going to, well, just cause you know, it's a Wednesday, what the hell else am I going to do? So, right. You know, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with throwing a two in there because you also know, well, on Saturday, hey, it's an off week. You know, I'm going to go to that microbrewery, have two beers and a slice of pizza. So I can, you know, work it here. So that way I can enjoy Saturday without going, ah, damn it, I'm going to blow a whole week just, you know, on one meal. So that, you know, so that kind of keeps you in check too, you know, without, like I said, without beating yourself up.
I like how you've come up with rules for yourself that also were in addition to the kind of the guidelines and recommendations of the program. I don't know if you have it in front of you, but you wrote everything down for me that I've got in front of me and I awesome. So you've got some food keys though, that I think are really good, especially as you're going through the program. So drink as much water as possible. And you put in there, especially at night, to stave off kind of those night eating sessions, those night cravings. Find 4 to 5 veggies you like to eat and eat a ton of them. Shaker yogurt before 8 a.m. every morning. And then this was every day, John. You didn't eat again until afternoon. So you had the shake in the morning.
I stole that one from you.
The afternoon. Yeah, good. Yeah, and I think it's really effective. I do think if you put some protein in you and maybe a little bit of fiber early in the morning, that you give yourself a really good chance to be satiated, especially if you're busy and you got all that workload in front of you until afternoon. I think that's it's really manageable to do that. This obviously was one of your triggers because you mentioned, or one of your like real pleasure centers is no beer, bread, or pizza until you're off the cycle. And like, so just so people know, like, beer, bread, and pizza aren't outlawed by any means in the program. It just, it has to fit. But you, when you were going through your 32-day cycle, it's like no beer, no bread, and no pizza until you're off the cycle. And what was that about? Was that just because I know I can't, I'm not cutting it, I'm not leaving it with just one slice or one burger or one beer?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to buy a pizza without 8 slices on it. So it's just,
you know, I mean, ain't that the truth?
And we've all been there. We all know what happens to the other 7 slices after you eat one. So whether you finish it that day or later, and, you know, and I think the same goes for beer. So it's just kind of, you know, I can count the times, you know, in my life in one hand where I've had one beer. So I just knew that those were, you know, two of the things that I had to get out of my system for a month at a time and, you know, find other things, you know, to eat. And then I, you know, as I think I said on one of our calls on a Sunday, I said, but on day 33, you're darn right, I had a beer, you know, and a couple slices of pizza, you know, once we were off and, you know, just kind of learned how to do it. And, you know, some much like that, first rule, have a big shake, you know, or yogurt in the morning. If you know you're going to go out and have, you know, dinner with friends or whatever, you know, you're going to have a, you know, 2 or 3 beers and a burger or pizza or whatever your flavor is, make sure that's your 2-day, you know, just have your shake. And then in the afternoon, have that. And then by time you get to the point in the program where you've, you know, dropped enough weight, you'll be amazed at how often you can go out and have 2 beers and 2 slices of pizza and call it a day. Whereas
because you're full,
because I was literally full. Like halfway through the program, you know, went out on my off week and literally my wife looked at me and she goes, "What's wrong?" I go, I'm done. You know, I literally couldn't eat anymore. Didn't want to eat anymore. And, you know, put it away. And you know, so, I mean, your stomach will adjust. And that was the other huge thing. You know, after about 2 or 3 months, I went, holy crap, I don't want to, and I can't eat as much as I used to, which is obviously awesome. A key. But I mean, that was the biggest thing, is that your body realizes it can't do this anymore. You know, so it really, you know, adapts, and then it makes it easier. And it really, what I saw, as I could tell, you know, the alternating or the changes that were coming, is having that shake in the morning and not eat until noon teaches your body you don't need to eat every 2 hours. And I'm sure I speak for more than one offensive lineman on this call that we sure as hell never thought that way in our lives. So, I mean, that really is a huge, you know, trigger to, you know, get out of your head. And as you go through the process and go through the program, that was one of the biggest things that helps, you know, as far as, you know, down the road, keeping and maintaining, you know, the weight loss or maintaining the weight once once we do get it off.
Nick, I will say that, Nick, that's the number one thing that has changed me. A lot of the stuff in this program has kind of like been stuff that I've heard or understood before. But one of the biggest issues I've had, and John, thank you for sharing that, was like the shake first thing in the morning was the biggest game changer for me, because I've never been a shake guy. And like, I always have gotten, I woke up halfway awake and wanted to get food in my system so I could digest it before training. And so I would used to get nasty hunger pains. And what I have found with your program is that, like, by getting that shake into me before those hunger pains get on, like John, I find myself eating my first meal till like at noon or 1 o'clock. That's been a big deal for me. So yeah, that is, I would say that is awesome. That's a huge part of this.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I feel the exact same way. It's, I think one of the things that you have to get over when you've been overeating is that fear of pulling away from the table. And a lot of us were every 2.5-3 hours every time, every single day. And there was almost a fear, like, I can't leave and go too far without finding a restaurant or finding the kitchen, or, you know, it's like you can. And it's really empowering once you feel that and realize that this food's not controlling me. I get a control, and I get to decide when I want to eat instead of the other way around. So John, let me get back through. You've got three more that I think are awesome. Stay busy at work, go for a walk, or drink water in the afternoon to distract yourself and keep yourself from adding an unnecessary meal or snack. I think that's tremendous. And I think we've talked about this with some of the other folks on the program. It's, hey, that 5 o'clock hour sets in, I turn on my TV, and usually that was the time when I would grab a snack and just kind of sit there and get after it. Maybe at 5 o'clock, pop a podcast on, or pop an old album that you haven't listened to, or an audio book, or whatever it is, and just take a little stroll. Just take a little stroll around the neighborhood. And then I do believe staying busy and not hovering around your kitchen like a vulture is one of the healthiest ways to be able to kind of just get it out of sight and out of mind. Because what we see, we want, right? So it's those visual cues that attract us back to the kitchen. So finding a way to remove yourself from that. I love this one. I think this is super critical. Get all of your bad or cheat foods out of the house before you start the program. And you're right, that handful of nuts or the popcorn at night, it can easily cost you a pound a week and ruin what was otherwise a very disciplined program. So I talk about it all the time. A handful of nuts is 200 calories. And that's, are you really willing to waste your 200 calories on a handful of nuts? I think there's other things that I'd rather have. So, and then this is a concept, go shopping and stock your fridge with good food. So don't keep running to the store and buying food when you're hungry and more prone to make bad choices. I think that's really important. But the two together is essentially the concept of you have to crowd out the bad with the good. And I think that's just a concept in our lives that we can employ. You know, we can use it with relationships, crowd out bad relationships with good relationships, crowd out bad habits with good habits, and overwhelm them, and cleaning out your pantry and your kitchen of the things that will lead you to have bad moments, a bag of chips, a bucket of nuts, whatever it is, get those out of there, the processed food, bring in the good food. That way, if something does go, you know, in your head, it's like, I need something to eat. It's like, well, I've got broccoli and hummus here. Right. So it's like, well, that's what I'm going to have. So crowd out the bad with the good. John, your tracking to me has been phenomenal just with going through, you know, the weight loss. And I know the first cycle was 31 pounds, second cycle was 19, third was 17, fourth was 12, 10. And now you're at 100 pounds of weight loss. What was it about writing things down and tracking it that you think helped you out?
I think writing it down the most is, I think number one, it holds you accountable. It also, you know, when you write out your weekly plan of what your workouts are going to be and what your foods are going to be, you know, you're more likely to stick to it. And I think the biggest benefit for me was it helped me establish the rules that, you know, that I need to do every day because, you know, much like, you know, any practice, you can practice every day, but at some time you got to go play the game, you know, so as I said, the blinders are off and, you know, the safety harness is off and you got to go, you know, whereas you can't just say, I'm just going to live in this program and that's it. You got to go, what's going to work for me and what can I do to really change? And that's the biggest thing, you know, is we all have to learn what triggered all the bad behavior in the first place. Or if you want to look at the other way going forward, what am I doing right now that's going to keep me right down the road? So whichever, you know, psychology you want to use, but, you know, I looked a lot of the looking forward. I mean, everyone, you know, can say whatever they want about 2020. And I don't think a lot of people have it any, you know, a lot of positives, but, you know, as your good friend says, Nunc Chepe, you know, now I begin. And I just use that every morning, especially like when I go for the walk in the woods or whatever, although now we got snow, so I got to change that up a little bit, but just today's going to be a great day. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do, but I'm going to figure it out. And if it ain't a great day, at least it's going to be a good day or a positive day. You know, bad things are going to happen to everybody, but start it out right. You know, and that was the, you know, huge component of it. You know, I know a lot of times on Sunday, you know, one of the guys would always go, oh, I had a bad week. And I'm just like, well, get it right today.
Figure out why it was bad. Go back to the seat of why it was bad. Figure out why. And then let's build a system around making that better. Give me, John, because we got like 3-4 minutes.
Okay.
And I greatly appreciate everybody showing up for John. This is huge. It's a massive day for him. It's a massive day for us. I think it gives tons of inspiration to everybody out there. It's like, you know, people look at a professional athlete and they're like, oh, he's got, you know, a special willpower or determination or something. It's like, you can do this. I think when people look at you, they see this as being very attainable and they see a lot of themselves in you, John. So I think one of the coolest things you've been able to do as you're talking about it is you've come up with now your rules to enjoy life. And I think you have a big goal. I'm not going to share the goal, but for 2021 up until, I guess, Super Bowl Sunday next year, the goal for that. So give me your 8 rules to enjoy life, John Zenser.
All right. I'll do the Cliff Note version, but first one is get up early every day. There's always a reason to get up. It's not that you have to do anything, but it always clears your head. You know, you don't have to start your day, but get up early and do something. Second one, and this is probably the most important as far as the weight loss goes, move before 8. I mean, don't don't assume that after a hard day or whatever life throws or the family throws at you, that you're going to have time to move. And by move before eight, I mean, I'm talking, go for a walk, go to the gym, stretch, anything. It's not, you know, you don't have to go lace them up, tape your ankles and work out, but
get moving.
even if you can only go get a mile in, just, you know, walk, you know, take a short walk. Just it helps. 'Cause I know the one thing about the walks is they were probably more mentally, you know, helpful, you know, and, you know, for me than physically. And then we talked about this, the shaker yogurt only before noon. Get that in, you know, get your protein in, and then, you know, turn your brain off and don't eat again until afternoon. You know, that's huge. You know, another one we've touched on, hydrate at night. Just first thing you do, have a big glass of water. One, it fills you up. The other is, if you're bored, it gives you something to grab. It keeps you from especially if everyone likes to watch, if you like to watch TV at night or watch a game or something, we all know, you know, the nuts or chips are a lot more fun, but if you grab the water, I mean, it'll get right. And then, you know, it'll take a while to get you to sleep through the night, but don't worry, you know, you'll get there. And then the other is, you know, quote of the day or a daily inspiration. You know, you can go on, you know, whatever, you know, website and just find something, you know, and it doesn't mean Vince Lombardi every day. It's just whoever, you know, can, you know, set, you know, just something positive, you know, and it could be one sentence and then move on. It's not spend all morning checking it out. The other is compete every day. I mean, that's the one thing a lot of the people you've had on, Nick, or on your podcast, and former players say they keep competing, you know, like Barrett, or the defensive end from Bama.
Oh, Jarrett Johnson.
Jarrett. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, he said him and like Eric Wood, they were like, compete, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, whether it's, I only got time for 20 minutes on the bike today, make it 25. Or, you know, I've got to write an essay for work. Write the best damn essay you can. Whatever it is, but mentally challenge yourself every day to compete in something, because that, you know, keeps you alive, keeps the blood flowing. And then we touched on, write it down. Write what you're doing down, and you know, whatever version it is. I mean, my notes are a bunch of chicken scratch, and mostly everybody but me probably doesn't even know what the hell they mean, but it's just little notes or stuff that I see throughout the day that, you know, whether it's for my workout, food, or something I want to do down the road, you know, just, you know, write it down really quick. And then, you know, the weekly plan, you know, write down all of your workouts and all your food for the week or anything that you have. That way, you know what you need to get done every week, because, you know, just like this, you know, last week or two, you know, we've had a lot of snow in Connecticut, and it kind of changes and alters what you can do as far as work goes, you know, working out or use, you know, the field obviously has got a foot of snow on. So that kind of canceled one part of, you know, some of the stuff what I was doing. That way you can kind of slot your workouts. That way you go, I know I got to do these many workouts. Okay, well, I know, or you see it coming down the road, you go, oh crap, Friday, I got way too much going on. I might be able to sneak in a walk, but that's about it. All right, well, Thursday, hey, I've got all Thursday afternoon off. All right, then I'm going to gym, Tabata, you know, and whatever else I need to do. So by having a plan, you're going to get your work in, and at the end of the week, you're going to stay on point, stay on the process, and continue moving forward. And that's the, you know, the biggest thing is that make sure you take away a lot of the excuses or reasons not to succeed, because everybody's on this call to succeed. I mean, we didn't just decide, you know, I got nothing better to do, or we're not going to invest. We're going, okay, whatever our own personal point is, or what got us here. It's time to go. All right, let's go work out. Let's get this right. And, you know, let's start the process to, you know, changing ourselves and, you know, making that, you know, I don't want to say a new life, because that, you know, probably a little over the top, but just what's the, you know, let's make the future better, you know, for ourselves. And these are my 8, you know, rules that, you know, I made up, you know, for myself. And awesome. As I say, everybody's list is going to be different.
Well, I'm going to post this list in the Lose Like Alignment Network so everybody can take a look at that, draw inspiration from it. And then if you don't mind, I'm going to share your goal. Do you mind? Your goal for the next year? It's to, you'll go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what I got in the email was that you are going to stay under 230 for all of 2021 up until next year to make sure that these are permanent changes that have happened in your life. I think it was 230, right?
Exactly.
Good. John, we're so grateful for you, man. We're grateful for you. We're thankful for you. We're inspired by you. And yeah, I think everybody on this call is looking at you going, if he can do it, I can too. And you're, some of the systems that you built up, the rules, I think writing it down is massive. It burns it into your head. And scheduling, you know, the weekly plan is super important. Scheduling. So that workout's getting done. That walk is getting done, right? And understanding that, okay, something happened today, I'll move it to tomorrow. And I think you have completely taken this and made it your own and made it work in your life and made it sustainable. And we applaud you, man. We applaud you. We're super happy for you and the new body that you found.
I appreciate it. And just want to say to everybody on the call, you know, we're all blessed to have one of the most down to earth superstars as our leader in Nick. I mean, he's created a team. He's our leader. I sent an email out to the original, foursome or sixsome, and just, we held each other accountable. And, you know, Nick's done such a fantastic job of making sure, putting something out here that is able for all of us to succeed. And, you know, and if you don't get how much he loves each and every one of us, then you don't get it. Cause we're fortunate to have somebody that, you know, cares this much about us and invests so much time in us. I mean, for the last 7 months, every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, do you know what every former NFL Pro Bowler has been doing? I do. And that, or I say, I don't, but I know what this one is. And I'm just humbled that, you know, we're lucky enough to have Nick in our corner. And if you don't take advantage of it, then that's unfortunate, because Nick's a superstar and on and off the field, and we're blessed to have him in our corner.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you for those super kind words. And I do love all of you, and I really do want all of you to succeed. So guys, take John's inspiration, take some of his rules, make them your own, and go out and kick some ass this week. And thank you guys for helping me congratulate John. This is awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, everyone.
Amazing job.
Congratulations. Man.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Love y'all. Have a great week. Stay on track. Stay focused. One day at a time. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
How's it going?